Into another guest interview segment, and live in studio is Town of Afton Administrator Violet Sanderson for her monthly report. Violet, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Duke.
Yeah, absolutely. Always appreciate you taking some time to step in studio. And as always, a lot happening within the Town of Afton. Last time you and I talked on the air, you were telling us about the SLIB loan that you were the town was applying for to help with some water infrastructure. Give us an update there.
Yeah, so that SLIB loan application was to replace our south water line. That's not, basically that's going to run along Highway 89. Currently, that water line is a steel line. It's a little bit undersized to serve the community and the businesses to the south side of town. And the main line's actually underneath Aviat Building. So we want to get it in a more secured location so it'll be easier to maintain in the future. We're also going to be upsizing and looping things. So with that project, we did get the loan from SLIB. So that will bring into effect our rate structure increase that will come July 1. So basically it'll be shown on people's August bills. We will be sending out notices with the bills, and we will have kind of a flyer on our website as well as Invoice Cloud. We're hoping to have something posted on there so people understand. But really, to the average resident who has a 3/4 to 1 inch line size, it's really about, it's a 20% increase to demand charge. So it's really about a little less than $5 a month increase. So you're looking at a little under $60 annually for the normal resident.
Sure.
But we obviously, when we get a loan, we have to borrow against our rates. Our current rate structure wasn't going to support the project in total, and so that's why we needed to do the increase.
Gotcha. Now, is the some of the questions I'm sure people are asking, is the increase going to stay forever, or when the loan is paid back, does that increase go back away, or is it too soon to determine that?
So it would be too soon to determine that. One of the things that I think I talked about when I was here last time is, you know, when you're applying for a loan or a grant, you go off of your engineer's estimates to try and say this is what we know today the cost is going to be. Right now, we put in plenty of percentages on contingencies to ensure that we would capture enough in the new rate structure to account for any contingencies within the project. However, once the loan is paid off, it's a 20-year loan. So by then, we're probably going to have some increase in inflation costs of doing business, so to speak. And so it's safe to assume that it will stay. But obviously, at any time, if there's anything, if we're able to decrease rates, which I think is generally unheard of, but we would love to do that for the public if we're able to do that.
Sure. So tell us more about the project itself. So you mentioned where the line is that will be replaced. And so is it going to be moved to where? Are we digging up streets? And what's the timeline there?
So the timeline, that's a great question. So the timeline is that we're still going for our DEQ permit. We still have to do all of our right-of-way easement, similar to what somebody working in the town of Afton would have to do, because this will be in the right-of-way of the highway here on 89. So we're still working that, all of that. So our hope is that we would be able to RFP for this in the winter of 2026. So that way we can get started first thing in March and summer of 2027. So it will be parallel to the highway running down. It'll come out kind of where come out from Neild Avenue area, and then go straight down and then connect back into our main line that goes behind Gardner's area. So that is... that's our hope. That's the current kind of spec'd out version of the project, and so that's what we're going to DEQ with, talking about or showing them that's what our intentions are. So this will increase capacity and flow to the area to the south, and so that's what we're hoping to do.
Afton Town Administrator Violet Sanderson in studio this morning here on the Weekday Wake Up. Well, let's talk about what's coming up this summer. Of course, the 250th, and I know that a lot of towns are making some big plans. And so what does the town of Afton have in the works as of right now for this summer?
So as of right now, our tourism board is working in conjunction with our Main Street Alliance board. We have, we're changing a little bit of what we do, you know. Historically, in the last few years, we've had our Freedom Festival, which is that Friday, Saturday before the 4th of July. And this year, with it being the 250th, we're actually going to have events on the 3rd and the 4th. So on the 3rd, we're going to have Main Street blocked off, similar to what we do during our normal Freedom Festival. We're going to have bounce houses, vendors. We're also going to have a DJ. And then that night, we're going to have a live band performance by Flash Pants. So we're going to do kind of a theme of music through the years. And so the DJ will be kind of rocking that, and then we'll have flash pants as kind of the final performance on the 3rd. Then on the 4th of July, we will have our parade, and we're actually going to back that up. So anybody interested in being in the parade, watch for the registration forms on that. Our time is going to be backed up. I believe that they're planning to start at 3 instead of, instead of later in the day. And the reason for that is we will, you know, we are going to also work in conjunction with Search and Rescue Ranch Rodeo that night as well to start at 7 at the fairgrounds. And so we want to give people enough time to enjoy the parade, move around without feeling like they got to jump in their cars and zoom back to get their tickets, get their seats and all of that. So we feel like doing that will give, you know, make things a little bit safer downtown, and also give people a little bit of a chance to enjoy, you know, all of the shops and everything that we have to give to the public downtown. And then we will do, you know, then Search and Rescue Ranch Rodeo is planned to start at 7 o'clock, and then we will be doing fireworks as the town of Afton after that.
Excellent. Now, I know a lot of the county and a lot of the towns are doing a coin for the 250th. Is the town of Afton participating in that?
The town of Afton is participating in that. I want to apologize because I don't know the specifics of it. Lisa Grimsley, our new tourism director, would have more information on that. If anybody, you know, is curious, feel free to call us on that. The other thing that I do want to say is that if anybody is interested in helping with any of our events, whether it be, you know, a Freedom Festival event or this 3rd and 4th event that we have going on, it takes a lot of manpower, even just for a parade, you know, in terms of blocking off the roads and making sure that we have people, you know, staying out of places we've secured for parade entrance and for those spectators. You know, we are always looking for volunteers that are willing to help with that kind of stuff. So if anybody is interested in helping with any of our events, if you're going to be in town, please feel free to give us a call, because we would love to, find a place that you can help us for sure.
Absolutely. That's Afton Administrator Violet Sanderson this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Violet, let's also talk about Silverbrook Estates. Recommended approval from the Planning and Zoning recently, and now this goes to the Town Council tonight, correct?
Yes, tonight Town Council will hear this application. Obviously, they've had it before them to review all of the things, including the recommendation from P&Z, so it's not like this is their first night with eyes on it. But council will be having the public hearing, hear from the applicant, hear from any residents with concerns. It also gives us as a town the opportunity to answer questions for people. I always encourage people with questions or concerns about any sort of application before P&Z or council to come and ask those questions. It gives us the opportunity to educate them on what our process looks like. I think it's easy for the general public to assume that once somebody applies for something, it's approved and approved in the way that they've applied for it. So the recommendation that's coming from P&Z is a recommendation of approval with conditions. So there's quite a few conditions that have been placed upon this. You know, some of these conditions include the vehicle circulation, what the access is to the highway that are going to be utilized from this, and the impact that this project is going to bring to Warrior Way, Swift Creek Lane, and Kennington Burton. Another one of the conditions is making sure that they provide for crosswalk, signage, construction, all of that stuff to get people to the west side of Rulon, or to the west side of Warrior Way and to the south side of Rulon Gardner. And then, you know, there's a myriad of things. So whenever somebody comes with a major subdivision application, we're taking stock of water, wastewater, drainage, percolation rates on the soil. Is this even a good place for people to build? Vehicle circulation, pedestrian travel, all of those things are taken into account. There was a large traffic study done for this one to take into account those lanes that I talked about that will be primarily used by this subdivision. So all of that stuff has come to fruition with those conditions of approval that have been recommended by P&Z. So.
And again, the majority, if not all of those expenses are at the hands of the developer, correct?
Correct. And that's another thing that I hope the public will understand. Any direct impacts related to an application similar to this, or even a minor, you know, subdivision application where it's 5 lots or less, any infrastructure extension, creation, is borne by the developer, 100%. We go into what is called a preliminary approval phase, and then we go into developer's agreement. A bond has to be put in place for 125% of all of those costs associated with what the project is going to entail, and then we go to final plat. So there's a lot of moving parts that are happening that I think the general public doesn't see when we have an application that comes before us like this. I think there was a lot of rumors or speculation going on out there of like, this is not even a local developer, you know, all that kind of stuff. This is a local developer, which that doesn't change the way that we make decisions at the town of Afton, but just for the public to understand, this property was held in a trust, I think out of Texas, and that's where people found the information associated with Texas. This, you know, if this project is approved, it will then be owned by local developers. And then, you know, we take stock of everything in terms of all impacts. It's not something that we take lightly or make last minute decisions on. This is something that we as a town have had our eyes on for about, you know, 3 months now. And there is also pre-application meetings that we have both from the P&Z side with the utility side as well to ensure that we have enough capacity to take care of this kind of influx of population and structures. And it's been confirmed by our engineers, and we've gone over figures and numbers several times, made sure that we've included all previously approved major subdivisions in the town of Afton, plus any existing lots that have not been built on, all of that to make sure that we're taking stock of what is left in existing capacity to ensure that we can provide, you know, the services to something like this.
So you feel like it's been thorough, I guess is what you're saying then, right?
It has. Yeah. On my end, yeah, I feel like it has.
Yeah.
Been a lot. There's been a lot of research, a lot of review, you know, and not just by me, by P&Z as well. We have such a great P&Z board that really looks at the applications that are before them and takes stock of it as a whole. And that's the thing, is you have to look at this as far as a holistic approach. One of the other things that came up as far as a public concern was, you know, this is an increase in population. This means that you're going to have to provide more services, which are true. So in terms of water, sewer, that will all be taken care of as far as the infrastructure being paid for by the developers. But then also we're going to have, you know, the user fees and the hook on rates and fees that are going to be paid by whoever's moving into the property once it's completed. So that kind of takes care of itself as far as the enterprise fund. But in terms of additional services, as far as police, fire, general services to the public, these projects don't happen overnight. It's kind of a phased approach, phasing structure to the application. And what I think the general public might not understand is that the way that we're able to fund those services outside of our enterprise funds is with property taxes and sales tax. And sales tax is sent to us, Sales tax is sent to us as a town based on residential population. So as our population increases, we receive more of that sales tax pie, so to speak. And then also property taxes associated with the improvements on the land will also increase, you know, assuming that we will still have property taxes in the future.
Yeah. To be determined.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Well, Violet, I really appreciate all the details and explanation. And again, that is going to be at the town council tonight at what time? What time does it start?
Town council starts at 5:30.
Perfect. That's Afton Town Administrator Violet Sanderson this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Violet, thank you so much. Anything we missed?
I don't think so, Duke. Thanks so much for giving me the time today to explain that.
You bet. It's all part of the Weekday Wake Up on SVI Radio.